Welcome to another edition of the Weekly Rush on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, a Beasley radio station. And we've got some pretty good guests, but I wanted to introduce Sharon Mon, who's my co-host. Unfortunately, she's in New York City. Not a bad place to be, you know, at this time. So Sharon is there. Sharon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I wish we were both broadcasting from the beach today. It's beautiful.
Oh, listen, don't even go there, okay? I mean, you know, Philly's beautiful, but the Jersey Shore and the beaches are absolutely amazing. So I haven't talked to you in about 2 weeks since our last tapings. What have you been up to?
Just unfortunately doing a lot of work. How about yourself? I know that you took a great trip.
Yes, I actually went to South Carolina to visit a few relatives that that live in that area, Columbia and also Charlotte. I was actually on a radio program while I was down there, which was pretty cool. And I tell you, I'm not really into wings as much, but there's a place there. We stopped in one day, and there's a place called Noisy Wings. It's in Columbia. Mm-hmm. It's in several other locations in South Carolina. Fantastic wings. Met the owner. Had some real good times. You know, it was so good. And I don't normally do this. I don't normally, like, walk into a place and buy stuff. I actually bought a hat. And I'm wearing it right now, which is Noisy Wings. It's an incredible, nice-looking hat. The people was just so nice. They gave us free wings. They gave us free fries, and they gave us a whole bunch of stuff. Really good location. If you're ever down in South Carolina and you want the best wings, you got to go to Noisy Wings. And no, he's not paying for this, but I just wanted to let you know.
Nice Southern hospitality.
I'm just doing a favor. I mean, they gave me extra wings, so I had to do something with that. But great place. Had some fun. Really had a great time, and glad to be back in good old Philadelphia. So I wanted to introduce to our guest here, Sharon. This guy is absolutely amazing. In fact, it's going to take me about 20 minutes to actually do his intro. He is.
And you're going to take 20 minutes to do his intro, but he's such a young star.
This is right. With us today on the Weekly Rush, we have Neil Villapiano, television, radio, print, sports journalist, hosted sports shows all over the place, podcasts, much, much more. Worked with some of the most interesting people, Bruce Beck, Kenny Albert. Everyone knows Kenny Albert, obviously. I mean, that's something else. Plus many, many others, and we'll talk about that. He's also the author. Now, mind you, he's only going on 23 years old, but he's also written two books. One, and for the Philly fans, you're going to love these books, okay? Because they're not the nicest books on these teams, but he did one on the New York Jets, which was called Jets Pain. Pain. And believe me, if you're a Jets fan, you know what that's like. And also Meet the Mets Mess, which is pretty much a good deal. And by the way, I'm a Mets fan. I tried out with the Mets in 1978. So I have a soft spot for the Mets team. And this year they're actually doing pretty well. It's the whole thing from beginning to end, how the Mets started, how they went to the World Series, you know, how they lost to the Yankees, how they won, obviously, prior to that. Of course, Hall of Famers that we had there, including Tom Seaver. Great book. I don't always agree with what Neil says in the book, but very, very well done. But I don't stop there. I mean, he's also doing the Devil's State of Mind podcast, which covers the New Jersey Devils. Sorry, Philly. Sorry, you know, the Flyers, but he's also, believe it or not, a Flyers fan as well. I'm sure there's going to be something we'll talk about with the Philly teams as well. And he's also doing the Hockey Podcast Network. I guess that's on the Hockey Podcast Network. And here's the kicker. His nephew is former NFL and Super Bowl champion linebacker Phil Villapiano. And for anyone who is in the football, everyone knows Phil. Oakland Raiders. He played from 1971, 1979, Buffalo Bills, 1980 to 1983. Just a linebacker. I remember him messing up a lot of the games that I was watching. A couple of interceptions, touchdowns by himself. Good career in the NFL, 13 years. So, Neil, you could pay me later, but that's your intro. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very, very well. That was a wonderful intro. I don't mean to disappoint people, but I'm actually not a Flyers fan. I'm a diehard New Jersey Devils fan. But I have been to a couple of Flyers games in my daytime. I actually, when I was a little kid, I was such a pleasure to a lot of Flyers fans that some people actually gave me some money because they were so entertained by my passion at the Flyers Devils game. So I have a little bit of good history with the Flyers, but I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? It's a pleasure to meet you guys and be on here.
Well, thank you so much. We do really
thank
appreciate
you.
It to be there. I tell you, since you're an Islanders fan, you know, obviously not too long ago, because this is a tape show, obviously, we saw the Islanders do quite well, and they're doing pretty good. So pretty good that they're one of the seeds. And of course, the Flyers are actually the Philadelphia 76ers are doing extremely well in basketball. So, but you told me when we talked that you lived in South Jersey and you were a Phillies fan?
Yeah, I actually am a Phillies fan. I'm a New Jersey Devils fan, so it makes it easier for me to cover the team since, I cover them for the Hockey Podcast Network. But, yeah, actually, I worked in South Jersey. I worked in Cherry Hill for a network called Radio Vision Network.
Sure.
Shout out to Keith Reynolds.
Sure.
I was the host of the NVP show, which covered basically all sports in all different areas. I did that for about 3.5 years. Actually, I did it for about 4 years, and we were based out of Cherry Hill, so I drove there. I'm from Little Silver, New Jersey, which is more in the central, or if you're from South Jersey, more of the north area. Right, I live near Asbury Park, that type of area.
Sure, so Monmouth County, beautiful area.
Yeah, I live in absolutely a gorgeous area. Now, it's very hot today, probably the hottest day of the year so far. But yeah, it's a lovely area, and I've lived here my whole life. But I commuted quite often down to the South area. And, yeah, my dad actually grew up a Phillies fan because, fun story, when he was a kid, the first rec baseball team he ever played for was the Phillies. So he kind of became a fan like that. And I pretty much started watching with him. And he actually was at the Phillies game just yesterday. So he got the chance to see them play. And I'm actually going to go see them play next week when they take on the New York Yankees. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, listen, I tell you, one of the things I love about the Phillies, that's the stadium. You've been there. What did you think of that stadium as compared to, let's say, a Yankee Stadium or Citi Field?
I think Citizens Bank Ballpark is an absolutely wonderful ballpark to go to for a baseball game. It's very laid back. The people there are tremendous. They're very passionate. The food there is out of this world. I love it. And on a gorgeous day like yesterday and certainly like today, it is absolutely a great place to be. And it's great because especially if you sit up in, the nosebleeds right behind home plate, you get a really gorgeous look at the city of Philadelphia. I mean, it's absolutely tremendous. And so if anybody hasn't been there, I would highly recommend going to Citizens Bank. Wonderful ballpark, home to a very, very entertaining team, no doubt.
Absolutely. I tell you, I love that ballpark. I think it's amazing. You talk about nosebleeds. It's even the worst seat there is better than what you have at Citi Field or Yankee Stadium. It's just they did such a fantastic job with that field. I'm very, very disappointed with Citi Field, obviously. I think it's very cold, but I really do like that. Now, I know Sharon's on the line, so Sharon's got a whole bunch of questions for you. So go ahead, Sharon.
Now, I was going to ask you what you thought of Yankee Stadium, the new stadium. There's always a debate amongst New Yorkers about which is the better stadium. A lot of people think the newer stadium is a little bit more corporate than the prior stadium. But I just have to say I'm just so impressed that you're 23. You're going to be 24 in a month. Your birthday's coming up?
My birthday's on June 15th, so in a couple of days, actually.
It's coming up. So you're so young, and you've accomplished so much so far. I was just blown away by the fact that just hearing your credentials initially and then finding out that you're only going to be 24 in a couple of days. Well, we'll just round it up and say you're 24. But what inspired you to write all these books and do all that you've done? You've done so much at such a young age. What was your driving force? Was it your family because you're so involved? They're so involved with sports. And what really was the impetus behind you doing all and accomplishing so much?
Those are some great questions. To answer the first one about Yankee Stadium, I mean, I would agree that, the old Yankee Stadium is better than the new one. The new one is way more corporate. It feels it doesn't feel as much of me being at a baseball game as more I'm there at like a business meeting, as I put it. It doesn't feel like an actual baseball stadium. And unfortunately, right now, the team that plays there is not really playing good baseball, but that's a discussion for another day. I grew up in the old Yankee Stadium, so for me personally, I'm always going to love, you know, the house that Ruth built. It's a great ballpark, but it's still an enjoyable place. The new one is still an enjoyable one to go to on gorgeous days like today. And to answer your second question, that's a really good question, because I've had a lot of people ask me this over the years. It's a combination of a lot of things. Number one, I grew up a very passionate sports fan. My family is like sports in different ways. You know, my dad is super passionate about a lot of sports. So is my brother. My mom, not so much, but, you know, she's a big Yankee fan. She actually used to be a Knicks fan back in the day. There was a lot of sports
to watch.
The Knicks
are doing well.
Yeah, the Knicks are. Well, they were in the playoffs. Unfortunately, I grew up a New Jersey Nets fan, now Brooklyn Nets. So we're doing pretty well. Second round of the playoffs, won last night, which is good. And also having an uncle that played the National Football League for over a decade certainly helped me gain that passion and that interest. And then really, the funny story about it all the time is that I used to play a lot of video games when I was a kid, and it mostly was sports video games. And while I would be playing, I would be broadcasting what I'm doing. I would be broadcasting the game as I'm playing it. So my family heard it all the time, and they were like, you know, I think you would be really good as a sports broadcaster. Once I found out that you can actually have a job to talk about and broadcast sports and everything like that, I was like, I got to do this. So from the time I was 9 or 10, I already knew what I wanted to be, and I was very lucky to have a goal, already have a really good idea. So it made it easier to make certain decisions, and it just, you know, kind of go up from there. I went to several sports broadcasting camps up in Montclair, New Jersey. I got my certification actually in sports broadcasting and journalism from Hofstra University up in Long Island. So I did a lot of stuff there. And and then as far as the books, the big reason that I started writing, because the funny thing is that I'm not the greatest writer in the world. I actually, these books are the biggest writing projects I've ever done in my life. And it was definitely going to be a challenge when I first decided to write JETS, Pain, Pain, Pain. But I did it because there aren't enough books out there that really give you an honest opinion about why these teams are struggling. You know, the Jets and the Mets, you know, in particular, you know, look, the Jets haven't won a Super Bowl since, you know, 68, 69. The Mets haven't won a World Series since 86. And there's a lot of pain, frustration, and so many things like that, that it just made the book very easy to write. I mean, I've said it before, the book basically wrote itself with the amount of stuff that happened with these teams. It's incredible if you really look at it and really understand it. And it's remarkable. It truly is. And for me, that was one reason. Another reason was I'm very big on constantly getting my name out there, keeping people noticed, keeping, you know, really getting people to take notice of me, and that's what I'm doing. All the things that I do, everything, Devil's State of Mind, all the YouTube stuff I've done, writing books, interviewing people, it's all with the same purpose of constantly moving myself forward in my career and getting my name out there. And I still wake up every day and can't believe the amount of stuff that I've done in my career. And I'm a very humble person. I don't usually talk about myself very much, but I'm really proud of myself, even at just going to be 24 in a couple days, that I've been able to do all this stuff. And really, I'm very thankful for the gifts that I've been given, and I try to take advantage of them in a positive way as best as I can.
Well, that's fantastic.
It sounds like you're doing great. I mean, you know, it sounds like you also got a very early start and you're just really driven and so passionate about it. My next question would be, have you gotten a lot of pushback on the books? Do people seem to agree with you? What is some of the feedback that you received?
A lot of the feedback that I've actually gotten is a combination of Jets and Mets fans that, even though it's frustrating and painful to read these books, they agree with basically everything I've written. and they know it. And that's one thing that a lot of people think. But as far as have I gotten a lot of flack for it? No, which is, I'm going to be honest with you, it's a little bit disappointing. I was kind of hoping that I'd get a little bit more, disagreement from some people. I know Pete, obviously.
These are New Yorkers.
Well, I will tell you right now that you will, when we come back after break, I will definitely give you a little flack on the Mets there. But overall, it's been good. For those that are listening to the Weekly Rush right now, we are talking with author and sportscaster Neil Villapiano. That name might sound a little familiar to you, the last name. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. We'll be back with Neil on the Weekly Rush right after this.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Weekly Rush with Pete and Sharon. How are you doing? We've got a great guest actually here today, a gentleman who, believe it or not, is my daughter's friend. And this is how the interview took place. Is I said, I really need to get somebody sports oriented. We don't talk as much sports. We've had Ron Jaworski on, and of course we had O.J. Anderson on here, as well as a number of other, Larry Holmes. But we wanted to get a local flavor of a person who's been around sports, that knows the sports industry really well. And today on the Weekly Rush, we have Neil Villapiano, television, radio, print sports journalist, talk show host. He's actually written two books, one called Jets, J-E-T-S, Pain, 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 and Meet the Mets, Mets, Mess. Working on a third book, also does podcasts. Now, for us Philadelphia fans, obviously we like hearing about all the problems that the Jets and the Mets are having. But at the same time, he's also on, and I hate to say this, he is actually a Jersey Devils fan, not a Flyers fan, but we'll forgive him for that. He actually does the New Jersey Devils on the Hockey Podcast Network. Nephew of, and here's the kicker, my friends, linebacker Phil Villapiano, played for the Oakland Raiders as well as the Buffalo Bills. Great linebacker, made a lot of plays that unfortunately I was rooting for the other team or whatever. So good to have you on again, Neil. And I just wanted to get through this, your books now. I mean, I've got to get through your books. I know you're working on a third book.
I am.
But, when it comes to Jets, yes, obviously 1968, 1969, Joe Namath, guaranteeing a victory, nothing, absolutely nothing since then, absolutely nothing. It seems like the Jets kind of get all the retreads. In Philly, pretty much that's happened a lot till recently as well. But now they get the retreads, and the same could be said for the Mets. Although they are coming around, it seems like they just don't have the firepower during the playoffs to actually get past the playoffs, and they seem to always kind of choke, kind of like the old Brooklyn Dodgers, the bums from Brooklyn that would get there, and unfortunately did not win any World Series. Well, only won one World Series in all that time, but had such talented people. What do you think is the problem? And again, we're talking Phillies as well, because I mean they're having issues as well. What are the problems that seems like even the teams that have the biggest amount of money layout, they still are not doing well? The Yankees, for example, they're spending what, $400 million, and they still are not doing quite well. How do you explain that?
Well, There's an old saying that I was told a couple of years ago, and it goes like this. The interest of the owners is not the same as the interest of the fans. And what that basically means is that usually the owners, their main focus is not necessarily to win, but to make as much money as humanly possible. And yes, there are teams out there that have won world championships, even with spending a lot of money, but you notice how nowadays we don't get any dynasties. We don't get teams that win two or three in a row or three out of five or anything like that, because really it comes down to the salary cap in most of these sports, and you know, it's not every owner wants to spend up to the most that they can, because they're trying to make a fortune. And when you look at the Jets and the Mets in particular, I mean, you look at the Johnsons, particularly Woody Johnson. I mean, ever since he took over as the owner of the Jets, I mean, it's clearly obvious that he is not interested really at all about winning. He's more interested about making a lot of money and also being the biggest news in the New York media for usually the wrong reason. But another quote that I got told was, there is no such thing as bad publicity, and that's pretty much how the Jets operate. They want to be in the news as much as possible, even if it's bad, because they know that they'll get attention and they'll make money. And if they end up winning, I mean, that's kind of a secondary thing. And then when you talk about the Mets, I mean, look, they are really struggling, even with a good team that they have. In many ways, they've just had a lot of bad luck, particularly with guys getting hurt. You know, it seems like every year half the team by the time we hit July is on the injured list and things like that, and it's really, really nuts. But prior to Steve Cohen buying the team, I mean, it was owned by the Wilpons, and
yeah,
a lot of Mets fans will tell you that the Wilpons were not the biggest spenders at all, and they really just refused to spend money and really try to put together a winning team. And I know they went to the World Series in 2015, but I mean, it was, you know, they haven't done anything since. They made a wild card the next year, and after that, they've kind of faltered. And their biggest struggle is that they've struggled just to get back into the playoffs. And they've gone through a lot of really talented players and some pretty solid managers over time. But at the end of the day, this is the New York Mets, and they are, you know, it's a very tough thing when ownership just doesn't try to do everything it possibly can. But I will give Steve Cohen an opportunity here, because he is a Mets fan. See, this is the thing. The Wilpons were not necessarily fans of the team. Steve Cohen, on the other hand, is a huge fan of the Mets and has had dreams of making the Mets into a world championship team again. So Mets fans should be hopeful, but here's the thing. A lot of the times when things get hopeful for the Mets, they usually come crashing down to earth, unfortunately, as my book explains in many different parts.
Unfortunately, the way you phrase it over there, I was like yelling at your book, because obviously, you know, being a Met fan, and you know, I'm also a Yankee fan, but being a Met fan, I was like, don't say it, don't do it. You know, only us bums can talk about it. You know what I mean? But I did have one other question here, real quick. Obviously, in New York, it's different than Philly. You've got two teams, two baseball teams. You've got two football teams. You know, you've got all these different things. Like, we're here in Philly, they back the teams, because obviously there's one baseball team, there's one football team, there's one basketball team, there's one hockey team. It's really hard, you know, not to like each team because it's one team. Do you think the fact that we have two teams, the Yankees, of course, being very good, the Mets not being as big, and it's funny that even if the Yankees lose, they get the back cover of the Daily News or the New York Post, as opposed to the Mets. And the same with the Giants. The Giants could lose, and the Jets are obviously going to be taken off the front cover because of that. Does that have something to do with the fact that the two teams? By the way, you know, if you're a Jets fan, you're probably a Mets fan. And if you're a Yankee fan, you're probably a Giant fan. So, I mean, does that have anything to do with the fact that these other teams are kind of like, just out in the blue somewhere? And maybe even if they're winning a World Series, then they're going to go to a different sport for the New York teams that are big. Does that have any effect on why these teams don't do so well?
I think that there's something that has to do with that. I think that there's pressure. I mean, I know when the Wilpons owned the Mets, one of the things that they always wanted to try to do was try to get out of the shadow of being the little brother to the New York Yankees. And that was, and unfortunately, because again, they weren't really trying 100, they weren't doing everything they possibly could do to make the team better. I mean, they failed in that regard. And it's very difficult when you are an organization that hasn't won a World Series since 86, and your brother across, you know, basically that's playing in the Bronx, has won 27 World Championships and is the most recognized brand in all of sports. And, I mean, you could go all over this world and you'll see people wearing Yankee hats. I mean, you don't go all over the world and see people wearing Mets hats. And it's a difficult thing. But I think I will say this, the biggest positive to having more than one team in a sport in the same city, the good thing about it is that it creates rivalries. It gives people more options to pick, certain teams and certain things that they like. I mean, we got two hockey teams in New York. You got the New York Rangers who play Madison Square Garden right there in the biggest city in the world. And then you got the New York Islanders that play out on Long Island, and everybody's like, where the hell is Long Island? I mean, that's kind of the thing when you really look at it. But some people, they're very passionate about it. And then there's, you know, especially when you grow up, like, you know, for me, I have an older brother that has grown up a Jets fan, and I went the opposite way. I grew up a Giants fan. So it's things like that. It's competition, it's rivalries. And I think that there is something that has to do with that when it comes to teams not doing well, because, you know, you want to have those moments of, you know, the Battle of New York, the Battle of, you know, whatever the case may be. And we've had, luckily, you know, we've had the Yankees and Mets play in the World Series back in 2000.
The Subway Series.
Exactly. It was a big thing. It was a big thing. You know, you're playing in New York. The whole World Series is in New York. It's just a great thing. And then, you know, the Rangers and Islanders have played many times in the playoffs against one another, and we know how big rivals those two teams are. And then you have the Jets and Giants. And look, man, people are dying for a Jets-Giants Super Bowl. We are hoping that one day we get the opportunity where both the Jets and Giants are good enough to make it to the Super Bowl, and that we get a chance to see that. And I mean, with the teams that these organizations have right now, you know, maybe in the next couple of years we get that. But I do think with having more than one team in each sport, it creates a lot more pressure to perform, because not only are you trying to become the best in your sport, you're trying to be the best in the city that you're playing for.
Well, Neil, I got to tell you right now, that's a pipe dream, okay? Obviously, the Jets and the Giants will never play. I mean, yes, we had the Mets and the Yankees back in 2000, and of course, Benitez blew it for everybody, but the bottom line is, you know, if you got Mariano Rivera against, you know, Benitez, I mean, you're going to lose. This is not going to happen. But I don't ever see that happening. Of course, on the Mets and the Yankees side, yeah, that does happen every once in a while. But unfortunately, No, that is a pipe dream. That's like you're sleeping and you're dreaming, because I don't think that would ever happen. But I tell you one thing, I would love to be able to bet on that in Vegas. If that came through, Could you imagine the odds on something like that? I'm sure Sharon could figure that. Sharon, you have a question, right?
Yeah, I was laughing about the rivalry, because last night the Red Sox are playing the Yankees, and my dad grew up in Boston, and of course I'm a big New York Yankees fan. So, you know, it makes for interesting holiday meals when I'm with my family from the Boston side. But my question is, I wanted to see your opinion on this, since you're such an expert. How would you have felt if A-Rod had bought the Mets instead of Cone? What do you think the direction of the team would have been under his curtilage, under his leadership?
You know, that is a fascinating question, Chad. It really is, because I actually, for a while, I was pretty much on the very much like, yes, I think that he should, and it seemed like it was gaining a lot of traction. I personally, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I personally believe that the Wilpons used A-Rod and that whole opportunity to force Steve Cohen to pay up more to buy the Mets, because when you really think about it, Steve Cohen had a lot more money to offer the Wilpons than A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez. They had to get a lot of, you know, former athletes and people like that to just invest money so that they had enough to buy the Mets. Steve Cohen,
right?
You know, he has billions of dollars in his account. He has more than enough money to single-handedly buy the team, and I think that that's what ended up being the case. But I think had A-Rod and J-Lo and that whole company had bought the Mets, I think it would have certainly given more attention to the Mets in general. I don't know if they would have been as active in the offseason trying to sign some players that the Mets did, you know, trying to trade for Francisco Lindor or bringing in Brian McCann or anything like that, because, again, they don't have as much money. But I look at A-Rod and I say to myself, A-Rod is really much trying to compete with Derek Jeter. I think a lot of Yankee fans would probably agree with that. I think that they both are very competitive. I think that they still have a little bit of a rivalry between each other. And what better way? Because if you really think about it, I know obviously Jeter, you know, he's part owner of the Miami Marlins, but, you know, they would be in the same division. They'd be competing all the time. It would be great. And look, A-Rod almost went to the New York Mets back in, I believe it was 2000. He almost went to the Mets before he ended up in Texas. So he clearly has a connection there, and he really wants to be a sports owner. And, you know, it really seemed like for a while it was a possibility, because I know that when Steve Cohen backed out the first time to buy the Mets, it was just kind of open season, and then it came down to, you know, Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod, Steve Cohen, and actually the owners of the New Jersey Devils, Joshua Harris and David Blitzer, were also a part of that. But really, to answer your question, I think it would have been very interesting and kind of exciting for a lot of, you know, young fans and even just, you know, fans my age to see someone like A-Rod owning the team. But as far as, you know, having the financial backing and the guarantee that they would spend money to get this team better, it would have just been a lot harder because they don't have as much finance as Steve Cohen does.
Well, you know something, you mentioned that whole thing. I think a lot of younger people would have liked that, but most of the guys would want to see J-Lo. I'm sorry. Rodriguez, but J-Lo. Listen, a while back.
Unfortunately, they're no longer together, so they wouldn't have had a chance to see much of that anyway.
Well, you know, a while back, before we go to break, it's just a quick story. I had Tug McGraw basically do something for me. I was working with the American Heart Association. We were doing these big CPR mass training day, first aid, and all that type of stuff. And we ended up getting Tug McGraw to come in and do. And Tug is great, by the way. He was just amazing. Got pictures with him. He took the time to, you know, obviously a Philly a pitcher as well as a New York Met pitcher. Just an amazing guy. And I'll tell you something. Half the people there were asking if his son's wife, who is Faith Hill, of course, was there. Mm. They were like, you had to see Tug McGraw's face. Like, what? What the heck are you talking about? You know, I mean, you want to see Faith Hill? I'm here. You know, I'm a Philly legend. I'm a Met legend. So it's pretty interesting. So we are actually talking on the Weekly Rush with Neil Filippiano. He is a author, sportscaster, and we're going to talk more about what he has done in the short time he has been on this earth. And I'm serious, people, what he has done with the Weekly Rush. We'll be back right after this.
In May of 2000, Dave O'Carnacar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
Welcome back to the Weekly Rush with Pete and Sharon on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, a Beasley Media radio station. And we've got a great author here, a gentleman who I just am amazed at all he's accomplished in the short time that that he's been on this earth. 23 years old, yet Neil Filippiano is a television, radio, print sports journalist, done so much with that, wrote two books, done TV shows, is involved in the Devil's State of Mind podcast, which is on the New Jersey Devils and the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm assuming that he talks pretty badly about the Flyers, but we'll get to that later. But there's one other thing that I wanted to mention. Now, this gentleman is only 23, going on 24 years of age, and he's accomplished more in this time than most of us in a full lifetime. But looking at the bio here, I can see why he actually got into it. For those of you that are just joining us, he is the nephew of former NFL and Super Bowl champion linebacker Phil Villapiano. And Phil has played for the Oakland Raiders as well as the Buffalo Bills. Just an amazing career, 13 years in the league. Neil, I'm telling you, you got to tell me if you got free tickets to anything when he was playing. I mean, seriously, he's your uncle. I mean, you had to have gotten stuff.
You know, actually, I didn't. A lot of the time when I see him and we talk, we just talk. No, I mean, we talk about football. We talk about the Raiders because obviously he's Raider born and bred, one of the biggest alumni. He's loved at NFL Films. I mean, I've said before that half of the content that NFL Films has is just of my uncle talking because they absolutely love him. But, you know, he's a wonderful guy. He really is. He's currently actually, he doesn't live too far away from me. He lives in Rumson at the moment, Rumson, New Jersey. So I get a chance to see him quite often. But, yeah, I mean, it's when I was a little kid, that was kind of like, it was such a cool thing because being a really big sports guy and being a fan of football and realizing that I have a relative that has played in the NFL with some of the most recognizable names of all time, you know, John Madden as his head coach,
yeah.
Kent Stabler, the Snake, his quarterback, and, you know, some of the great offensive linemen, Gene Upshaw and Art Snell. I mean, it's great. He played on some of the greatest, not just Raiders teams, but some of the greatest football teams in the history of the NFL. And, you know, a lot of people have asked me, said, oh, Neil, you must, like, just talk straight up football with him all the time because of, you know him and all that stuff. And, yeah, we do talk football, but one of the things that I really enjoy about talking with him is that we talk about life, and he gives me a lot of advice. He's actually been a big help in my career, you know, helping me get my name out there, suggesting things that I do. And, you know, other than my own father, Gavino Villapiano, he's been, you know, Phil has been one of my biggest influencers and one of the guys that I really try to do the best that I can to really showcase what I can do. And I owe a lot to Phil, and I'm really appreciative of him. And, you know, he's a great guy. And, you know, he's given me a couple stuff here and there. He actually autographed the football for me that I keep in my room. Don't plan on getting rid of that anytime soon. And, you know, he's just a great guy. And he and I love talking football. He loves what I'm doing because, you know, a lot of it is on based off of things that he really enjoys. And he's just a great character. He's a character, and he's a great guy when you get a chance to meet him.
Well, listen, if Phil is listening right now, Phil, I think you owe Neil some Super Bowl tickets, okay? So just so you know.
especially if the Las Vegas Raiders make it back to the Super Bowl, I'll definitely try to be there.
Definitely. That's something else. The other question I have is, obviously, you've done so much, 23 years old, going on 24. That, you know, I'm three times older than him at this point. So that's pretty sad.
I'm telling you, he's accomplished a lot.
But in that time period,
thank you.
Bruce Beck, Kenny Albert.
Yep.
Tell us about the others. Tell us who you liked working with best out of all the people you've worked with.
That is a really, really tough question. You're putting me on the spot right there. I mean, look, the first thing I'll say right off the bat is that I've really been lucky to get to meet these guys and do a couple things here and there with them and, you know, kind of pick their brain a little bit. And, look, they're all great at what they do. The guy that I really enjoy, I enjoy talking to the most is certainly Ian Eagle. And, you know, partially there's a little bit of the fact that I am a Nets fan and he is the main play-by-play voice on television for the Nets. But when I hear him and I talk to him, I see a lot of myself in him. Like, I look at the way he talks to people and the way he is off camera and everything and how he calls games. It's very similar to what I want to be. I want to be enthusiastic. And one of the things that I really try to do, because it's very common for a lot of people who are on television to not necessarily be the same person off camera that they are on. I want to be that same person on camera as I am off. I want people to know me as somebody who is incredibly kind, very, very caring, very generous to people, always, you know, willing to talk to people and spend time with them. And that's just who I am. That's who I've always been since I was growing up. And, you know, a lot of that credit goes to my mom and dad. You know, they've raised me very, very well. And it's just also just my own personal integrity and just knowing, you know, who I am and what and the type of person that I want to be. And when I see a guy like Ian Eagle, I see him as somebody that, you know, I want to be like. I want to be like that guy. I want to be personality-wise. I want to call games like he does. I want to do things that he does. He's one of my biggest idols. And, you know, unfortunately, the one guy that is pretty much my biggest idol, who's, you know, Mike Doc Emmerich, the now retired voice of the National Hockey League, he's the one that I would love to be able to talk to someday. And I'm actually planning on trying to get him on the Devil's State of Mind podcast in the next couple of weeks. So that would be a very exciting thing for me. But yeah, I would say out of all the guys that I've worked with and I've had the chance to speak with, it's certainly an Ian Eagle.
Really? Sharon, you have a question.
Yeah, you have such a good head on your shoulders. Your parents clearly have done a good job, and it's just such a pleasure to speak with you. I wanted to ask you, who are you keeping your eye on? Like, who are the rising stars in the sports industry? You're young. You're watching everyone. Like, who do you think are the up-and-comers?
Well, I'll tell you one guy that's an up-and-comer. I mean, he's obviously done so much, and he's still relatively young like myself, and that's Ryan Rucco, who, you know, he works for the YES Network. He does Nets games. When Ian Eagle can't do it. He's also done Yankee games when Michael Kay can't do it. And he's actually the main voice of the WNBA on ESPN. So he covers a lot of the Women's National Basketball Association, does women's college basketball. He does a lot of different things. And that's kind of another person that I look up to, because the thing about him that makes him so great is that he's willing to do as many different things. It's not just one sport. It's not just one area. He does so many different things to get his name out there that I kind of follow that same model. I'm like, well, he's doing all this stuff. I should be doing all this stuff as well, because that will give me a bigger, bigger spotlight. It would get my name out there more, and it would be, you know, like that. And again, he's very young. He's very cool. He's very laid back, and he's exciting. You know, the way he broadcasts games is great. You know, he's definitely somebody that I look to that is definitely a guy that in the next couple of years is going to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I hope that I can, you know, follow in his footsteps, so to speak, and try to follow that same type of path, because that's really what it is. And the only difference between him and myself is simply that, you know, he took kind of the college route, the one where you go through, you know, 4 years of college and you do a radio station, do an internship. For me, I mean, I went to my local community college, Brookdale Community College, and then most of the stuff, I would say 95% of the stuff that I've accomplished was on my own. I learned from some sports broadcasting camps that I went to, but a lot of the stuff I learned on my own. I would call people, I would email them, I would do as much as I can, I would, you know, offer my services, and it was just doing it in a very unorthodox way, a way that not a lot of people do. And it's kind of, I kind of get some of the inspiration from a guy like Ryan Rucco, because a lot of the stuff he does is unorthodox, but it's great. It works out. It's got his name out there. And so far things have been going very well for me as well.
That's great. Hey, listen, we've got some time, a little bit of time left. I wanted to go over, now you've written the two books, obviously. I don't agree with everything you say in those books, because, you know, for a real fan of the Mets and the Jets, you know, we kind of take that at heart. You know, I mean, it's true, but you don't want to actually say it. You know, we want to whisper that stuff, you know, whisper that stuff, you know. But I did want to mention you have another book. Can you talk about the next book that you're working on, if that's possible?
Yes, that was an announcement I wanted to make. I'm actually in the process of writing a third book. It's a hockey book, and it's about a team that plays across the border in Canada, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the title of the book is actually called From Maple Leafs to Maple Laughs, and it's going to be basically very similar to how I talk about the Mets and the Jets. It talks about the pain and all the painful things that have happened to the Maple Leafs. I mean, it's been now 55 years since the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs even won the Stanley Cup. And it's crazy to think how it's been more than half a century since the last time that they were able to do that. And you look at this past year, I mean, they just got knocked out of the playoffs a week ago. And this was supposed to be that year for them where they were finally going to get over the hump and win a Stanley Cup and finally break that, not necessarily curse, but certainly a drought. And it didn't work out. And I remember watching, I believe it was game seven against the Montreal Canadiens, their hated rival, the Montreal Canadiens, on Monday. And they lost that game. And I said to my dad, well, this just made my book that much more interesting, huh? And we both had a laugh about that and everything. But, you know, it's a book that, you know, with hockey being probably out of all the sports, it's the one I'm most passionate about. I love the sport. I say to people all the time, it's the sport that is the best to watch live because it's amazing how much can happen in a span of 5 seconds. And I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're an original six franchise. They're one of the most storied franchises, not just in hockey, but in all of sports. A lot of people know the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I look at it and I say, you know, they don't have a lot of books out there that talk about this part of the Maple Leafs. And I said, well, it's time I change that. So I am in the process of doing that. The plan is to have it ready probably around late September, early October, uh-huh, just before next season. And then my goal is to actually make a couple trips up to Canada, particularly Toronto, and get the book out there and, you know, get some people to buy it. And just like, you know, just obviously, Pete, just like with Mets and Jets fans, there's going to be some Maple Leafs fans, and I'm sure will agree with what I wrote in the book, but they just don't want to mention it out loud.
Yeah,
so I'm very excited to do it. I'm very excited to write this book. And again, it will be available on Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble. And I will, on my social media, I will make announcements about it when the time comes.
Now, listen, that brings up a big point. Obviously, the Toronto Blue Jays are playing their schedule in Florida as well as in Buffalo. No one's really allowed to cross the border. I know things are lightening up a little bit, but the bottom line is, how's that going to be done as far as, like, the book is? You can't even go to Canada right now to get in there,
right,
to do stuff. So how are you getting all your information and stuff?
Well, there's a good thing that the world has given us over the past many years, and that is called the internet. And I'm very fortunate to have the internet to look up things. And also, what people don't understand is that I am incredibly knowledgeable about the game of hockey and about basically every team in the National Hockey League. I know a lot of stuff, and I work for a network, the Hockey Podcast Network, and we have guys that cover every single team in the NHL, including the new Seattle Kraken that are going to be coming in 2020, you know, basically in the next couple of months, actually. And I get a lot of information. I ask questions. And then it's also about, because the thing is that I could easily write a book, and you could look at the two books that I've written, and I could easily have written it in a very journalistic way, a very, you know, very blasé type of way. But I want emotion in my book. I want passion. I want anger. I want it all, because I want these books to be for the fans by a fan. I want people to understand that this is what we're all thinking, this is how we all feel, and here's how we're going to express it. And that's kind of the thing that I look at. So a lot of the time, yes, I spend a considerable amount of time getting research, but the question really is, how do I take this research and put it into emotion where a fan could react to it? Not, you know, not just a simple journal or journalist or author type of way of doing it. It's how can I be passionate and write it this way so that the fans look at it and say, you know what, he's right. That's exactly how I feel. This stinks. I don't like this, but he's right, and I hate that he's right, and all that, you know, all that stuff. It's all of that. And that's kind of how it is. And even the way I'm talking, I'm being very passionate. I'm being very, you know, emotional about it, because it's a very, you know, both of these books that I've written before are very emotional books for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
I've had people say to me that they've gotten really upset Pete, I know that you don't always agree with everything that I wrote in the Mets book, but unfortunately, a lot of that stuff is very true, and I'm just going off of not just, you know what I think, but I'm looking at, I've spoken to Mets fans, I've spoken to Jets fans, and they told me how much it hurts to talk about these type of things, and it's the same way it's going to be with this book and many more books to come, because I plan on writing I have so many other book ideas that I have in my head, but it's one thing at a time. But I'm very excited to write this book about the Maple Leafs, because once people read this book and realize just how difficult it has been to be a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they will look at it and they say, sheesh, I am so thankful I am not a Maple Leafs fan.
Well, you know, you could also be a Minnesota Viking or a Buffalo Bill fan and have to deal with that, too, which is not the worst.
You could be a Cleveland Browns fan who has never even seen a Super Bowl.
This is true. This is true. So we have about 2 minutes left. Give us your details, websites, books, and stuff along those lines where our listeners can listen in to your shows as well as to buy your books.
Yeah, so you could follow me on Twitter at THENVPSHOW, Instagram at NVPQB11. If you just look up my name on Google, you'll come across my books on Amazon, JETS, Pain, 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 and Meet the Mets Mess. You can also check me out on the Devil State of Mind podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. We post new episodes every Monday and Thursday, so I'll have an episode coming out very, very soon. You can listen to those podcast episodes on all podcast listening platforms, so Google, Spotify, anywhere you listen to them, just look up Devil State of Mind. You'll find it. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Devil State and also on Instagram at Devil State of Mind, as well as Facebook if you just look up Devil's State of Mind. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. And, you know, if anybody out there follows me or ends up following me and you got a question or an idea or if you just want to talk sports, I am very, very open to talking anything. So, you know, please do so. And I look forward to all those conversations. And thank you guys so much for having me on today. This has been so much fun to do.
No, thank you so much.
Great.
It's amazing. So for those of you that missed this interview with author and sportscaster Neil Villapiano, this will be on the podcast that will be placed later on. So we are just so grateful to have you on, and we definitely will have you on again, especially when your new book is published, whenever that might be in the near future. So thank you so much for being with us, Neil. We really do appreciate it. Appreciate it.
No problem, and I definitely look forward to coming on again. And I thank you guys so much for having me on today. This was a blast.
Not a problem. And we'll be back with the Weekly Rush wrap up right after this.
Hi, I'm Ice-T. As a veteran, I know that for many former servicemen and women, the battle doesn't always end when they come home. Every day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, and sadly, 20 take their own lives. When nothing else helps, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, rescues animals in need of forever homes and trains them to become free, life-saving service dogs for our nation's veterans. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program. Let's give our veterans a fighting chance.
And welcome back to the Weekly Rush on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Beasley Media Radio Station. Sharon, I tell you, we just had an amazing guest on, author and sportscaster Neil Villapiano. Two books written, another book on the way, has done sportscasting all over the place, has done an amazing job, and he's only 23 years old. Do you believe that, Sharon?
He's got an amazing future ahead. I mean, he just knows his subject matter inside and out. He's very young. He's got his finger on the pulse of sports. He's fantastic.
It's just absolutely. When I was sitting there thinking, you know, I started late with writing books and doing all that stuff. And as like, you're 23, you've worked with people like Kenny Albert, Bruce Beck, Ian Eagle, and a bunch of other people, as well as have your own podcast on the the Hockey Podcast Network, plus doing radio stuff. And at 23 years old, I mean, at 23 years old, I think I was trying out for a Major League Baseball team, and they told me I was too short, too fat, too ugly. So, I mean, it just didn't work out for me. So, but he actually
you made it here. I was like, we're on the Daily Rush now. That made up for it. Here we are.
Yes, I made it big time. I mean, we're sitting here talking to all these baseball stars and astronauts and now you know, individuals like this who are playing sports and we don't cover hockey that much. But you know, one question I did want to ask him was what he thought of the Philadelphia Flyers, because obviously they have a pretty good team. But I guess the next time we talk, we'll talk about that. So anything.
I'm impressed. I really like the fact that, I mean, he just has a good head on his shoulders as well. I mean, just, you know, he was able to articulately talk about others in the field. And I think we're going to see big things from him in the future. He's definitely going to be picked up by someone. We're going to see him on major broadcasts.
Definitely. If he's doing this now, major networks will pick him up. And I'm sure if he's doing what he's doing, I think at 23 years old, if you're doing all that stuff, that's absolutely amazing. So I do wish him luck. With the audience out there, he has written two books right now. Neil Villapiano, and that is JETS, Pain, Pain, Pain. And anyone who's a Jets fan knows what that's all about, as well as Meet the Mets. I like that part, but then it's a little comment, and it says mess, because all of us know what happens when we get closer to the playoffs, and unfortunately, not very good, not very good stuff happened to the Mets during the playoffs. They just seem to fall apart during that time. He's writing another book on the Toronto Maple Leafs and the 50-plus years of not winning a Stanley Cup. So he's somebody that you definitely...
I also hope he has a cheeky title for his third book. I mean, his other two titles are fun.
They are fun, but, you know, I got insulted. I got these books from my daughter for Christmas, and I'm like, oh, wow, it's going to be on the Jets and the Mets, and I'm looking at it. I was going to yell at him. I was going to call Neil and say, what the heck you were thinking using mess? New York Mets mess or Jets, pain, pain, pain. It's true. Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure Philly, the Philadelphia fans at times think the same thing about those teams, but they don't go out and say it. They just don't do that. You know,
it's hard to see it in print, isn't it? It's hard to see it in print.
It is true. It is true. So I tell you, it is a pleasure. And that about wraps it up for the Weekly Rush. On behalf of myself and Sharon Mon, thank you for tuning in. And we will talk to you again on the Weekly Rush next week.